Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Martin Luther had written the words, translated into English, "Lord, keep us in thy word and work, restrain the murderous Pope and Turk." Or, as we have it in the current hymnal, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done." The word of God is always under attack. That attack has come in many and various ways. For a time, it was the church that withheld the scriptures from her people, that simply said, "Listen to your priest, and he will tell you everything you need to know about God." Now, it is true that your priest or your pastor should tell you everything you need to know about God. He should not withhold any of that from you. He should not make up lies about it or deceive by that word. But the fact is that it is good for the child of God to read God's word, to have his word proclaimed not just during that time of the church service, but each and every day. Before the printing press, it was much harder and much more expensive to own a copy of God's word. But now, you can find so many resources for free. Your phone has an app for free that allows you at your fingertips to see multiple different translations. And while I would encourage you not to use multiple different translations, focus rather on the fitting translations, the proper ones, the ones who actually were translated by those who believed that the Bible is God's word. The King James, the New King James, the ESV, these are good and faithful translations. They were translated by those who actually believed that the Bible is God's word, and not just God's word, but that it is inerrant. That means that God's word cannot err. There are no lies in it. There are no mistakes, and therefore we are bound to it. Like God himself, the Bible does not change. And while there are many out there who are trying to change that translation to better suit our culture's desires, stand on the word of God. It is our prayer with Martin Luther that he would keep us steadfast in his word. Sola Scriptura. By Scripture alone. Now, it is true that we as Lutherans view that motto, but also in the light that our traditions do matter. We uphold the traditions handed down to us by our forefathers as long as they proclaim the truth about Christ. And so while there are some church bodies out there that put tradition and the Word of God at the same tier, and then there are others who simply take the word of God and throw out all the traditions that their forefathers held to, we as Lutherans take those traditions and place them under the authority of the scriptures. Do these traditions proclaim what we believe, teach, and confess as Lutherans? And if they do, if they can teach those things, our Lutheran confessions say that we keep them. We keep the vestments, we keep the reverence, we keep the prayers, we keep most of the liturgy because it proclaims Jesus. We are bound to the Word of God. And there are days that I get so frustrated at this fallen world for acting as though God's Word does not matter in the least. for trampling all over the Word of God. But then I remember that, of course, the devil's going to do that. It's not a surprise when those who have no faith in God reject His Word. But what is tragic is when those who claim to be a part of the church, the bride of Christ, those who have been given authority over multiple souls, don't care about God's Word. Just this last week, the Church of England decided that it would put a vote about whether or not they should change all gendered language about God. They're a church body. They have been given the authority to hear God's word, to preach His word. Do they not care about God's preferred pronouns? Do they not recognize that God has very, very clearly revealed Himself in His word as Father? Jesus makes this extremely clear. Jesus Himself calls God Abba, Father. At His baptism, the Father proclaims Him to be His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. And the Father will proclaim that once again at His transfiguration. Jesus commands His disciples to go out and make disciples as well. How are you to do that? You are to baptize and teach. How are we to baptize? Should we neutralize the name of God and instead baptize in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier? Is that what Jesus Christ Himself commanded? Or did He not command, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Jesus, God the Son, from eternity took on flesh. And while it is the truth that the Father does not have the parts that make Him male, God the Son definitely does. For that eternal Son took on flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary as a male child. He lived His whole life as a man, not because it was assigned to Him at birth, but because that is how He was made. That is how He was created. That is how God took on the flesh. That is how He chose to do it, and He had to do it that way because that headship had been given to Adam, and Adam failed. And so it would take God becoming a man to unravel the effects of sin. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray," Jesus did not leave this ambiguous. He taught them and us to pray, to call on God as our Father. It is not the church's job to toy with what God has very clearly laid out. It is the church's job to proclaim, to profess, to believe, and boldly say that this is God's word. When our culture, that is driven by the devil, driven by fallen men, when our culture tries to dictate to the church what it should or should not teach, it's one thing. But when the church caves to our culture rather than what it has been given by God to do, that is a whole nother thing. Pray for the Church of England. Pray for the many denominations here in America that have gone the same route, that have rejected what God clearly teaches to appease a fallen world. God's word is so important. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In our gospel lesson, Jesus talks about just how important that word of God is. And in the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, we see that His word does not go out and that it doesn't just do nothing. Rather, it does exactly what God purposes for it. It goes out and it waters the whole land. It is our job as Christians to proclaim his word, to proclaim the fact that Jesus Christ died for the ones who are confused about how God made them, for the ones who understand how God made them, for those who sin every and which way in between. It is our job to proclaim Jesus. The Holy Spirit works through that word proclaimed and works faith in the hearts of whom God has foreknown, of whom God has elected. Jesus often speaks in parables. Many times, those who are rejecting him do not comprehend it. But thankfully, sometimes he also explains his parables like he does this time. Thankfully, the disciples are willing to ask him about it. And thankfully, St. Luke records it. What is this parable? Why is this sower simply throwing seed everywhere and watching as only 25% produces fruit? Well, the fact is that God's word is mighty. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, as we talked about in the sermon on Wednesday. It is living. It is active. It kills, but then makes alive. The law reminds us of our sins and our need for a Savior, and the gospel, that is the proclamation that that God-man, that that eternal God that took on that flesh in that virgin girl, died for the sins of the whole world. That gospel, that truth, is what makes alive. So throw the word. Proclaim it to everyone that you come in contact with. The Holy Spirit will work faith where and will he chooses. Yes, not everyone will come to Jesus. Yes, not everyone will hold firm to that. There are some who receive it as children, but then fall away. There are some who will become Christians because they heard that joyful message, because they were entertained by it for a while. But the second that life's trials and tribulations strike, they fall away. God is bigger than that. He is mightier than that. You know that. God is there in the good times. And he's there in the hard times. He is your loving Savior, whether things are going well in your lives or things are going terribly and you have no handle on the situation whatsoever. God's word as at work in this congregation, in this community, in this state, in this nation, and in this world. And even though there are so many that are turning away from it, you do not. You stand firm in the Word of God. You believe that it is the Scriptures that give us salvation. It is the Scriptures written by fallen men, but given by inerrantly by the Holy Spirit. That these are God-breathed, that he has inspired all the words in here. There is no error found in this book. No other book can claim that. But this one can. Trust it. And when others attack it at you, do not listen. Stand alone on the word of God. Be faithful in season and out of season. And if you hear a preacher claim that God's word does have errors, claim something that is absolutely false according to the scriptures, run. Find a faithful one. Read your Bible. Test that spirit. Make sure that it has come from God. The church sings. May God bestow on us his grace, with blessing rich provide us. O let the people praise thy worth in all good works increasing. The land shall plenteous fruit bring forth. Thy word is rich in blessing. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit bless us. Let all the world praise him alone. Let solemn awe possess us. Now let us our hearts say, Amen. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.